trade and tariffs. For many growers in Ohio and across the nation, there's a lot of questions. How deep will they go? What will the impact be on grain farming? How might other countries retaliate? Things in Washington are moving fast, and that's why we're talking to one of the best on our team to know what's happening in Washington, D.C. Nancy Martinez, Director of Public Policy, Trade, and Biotechnology for the National Corn Growers Association. That's coming up next on Kernels. Welcome to Kernels, a show by Ohio Corn and Wheat, dedicated to keeping you informed about issues impacting your farm. On today's episode, we're going to dig deeper into trade and tariffs. Nancy, what's the current situation on trade and trade policy changes, and how can farmers keep up to date on what's happening?
There's definitely been a lot of news that's popped off this year. So to categorize all of the tariff activities so far, there's three major announcements to pay attention to. There's the 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada imports and the 20% tariffs on Chinese imports. There's also 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum, and then potential upcoming announcement on reciprocal tariffs. So to kind of level set of where we are today, there's currently 20% tariffs on Chinese goods that are currently in place. But the 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canadian imports have largely been paused until April 1st. But as of March 12th, the 25% tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports are currently in place. Coming up on April 2nd, we expect to see an announcement regarding what reciprocal tariffs will be. The Trump administration is planning to impose tariff rates on countries that also impose tariffs on our exports, but we don't yet know what products or what countries will be targeted on this reciprocal plan.
So how does the fact that the U.S. has the world's largest economy, is the largest importer, and the second largest exporter impact agriculture, particularly corn farmers?
So the corn industry depends on exports to be successful. Roughly a third of corn growers' income is driven by exports when you account for ethanol and other corn products. Right now there's reinvigorated attention on leveling the playing field for manufacturers and producers in the United States. We support removing trade barriers and non-tariff barriers that are unfairly imposed on ag products, right? We see that all the time, countries imposing barriers not based on science, and that impacts our ability to be successful. However, our concern throughout this process is how countries respond to tariffs. So when there is retaliatory action that's taken, that can hurt our ability to export and make a living. So we're seeing a variety of responses from countries affected by tariff announcements. Some countries are being very public with publishing lists that affected immediately, publishing lists that will be affected down the road. And then some countries prefer to negotiate or not announce any public plans. So to kind of categorize how countries are responding with the tariff announcements this year, so China, Canada, and the EU have all taken public action to publish lists that are effective and to also indicate that they are going to enact tariffs down the road potentially. But Mexico is one of those countries that has not published a list or clarified a response. There's other major U.S. trading partners that have not announced a public response either, like Japan, the U.K., or Australia. So what does that mean for the corn industry? Right now, corn is subject to a 15% tariff at the hands of China. Corn is also mentioned on Canada's list and the EU's list. So we could see potential actions that hurt corn from those two bodies down the road.
What's the history of trade agreements between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, and why is it important, especially regarding Mexico as the largest buyer of U.S. corn and Canada as the largest buyer of U.S. corn ethanol?
So to back up a little bit, the North American Free Trade Agreement, that first established free trade between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada back in 1992. And the U.S., Mexico, Canada Agreement, referred to as USMCA, replaced NAFTA, was implemented in 2020 and made a number of improvements. USMCA has been very beneficial for agriculture, including the corn industry. So at the time of USMCA becoming ratified in 2020, our exports to Mexico are a little over $3 billion worth. Now, the latest data from 2024 shows that they are around $5.6 billion worth to Mexico. So that shows you how The trade agreement has been beneficial for corn exports. The USMCA has also been utilized for us to fight Mexico against their actions that impeded biotech access, and we won that case. So that was a successful outcome using that dispute settlement process and USMCA.
How will these potential trade disruptions and tariffs impact the import of potash? It's a key fertilizer ingredient. The U.S. imports 98% of our potash, and 85% of that comes from Canada.
So you are right. Canada is the main supplier of potash used in the United States. With the 25% announcement on tariffs from Canadian imports, potash was originally caught up in that. But potash now that can satisfy that the USMCA rules of origin requirements have been adhered to, that's exempted until April 1st. If they can't satisfy those rules of origin requirements, potash would be subject to that 10% tariff. The administration, clarifying how potash will be dealt with is a sign that they're attuned to the needs of farmers, but we do have an expiration coming up. So we'll be asking questions to see how potash will be treated going forward, post this April 2nd deadline. I do want to flag that the president issued an executive order on March 20th on potash to hopefully speed up permitting and identify some sites on U.S. soil that could be used for commercial mineral production. So we know that they have an eye on potash and know how much farmers rely and use it.
There's been considerable discussion emanating from Washington about President Trump's promotion of shipbuilding in line with the American First agenda. This initiative aims to boost domestic manufacturing, create jobs, reduce reliance on foreign-made vessels, particularly those from China. How will these port fees on Chinese-built ships entering our ports support the U.S. shipbuilding industry, and what impact might that have on our competitiveness in the global market?
So if you look at the data from 2020, 40% of our corn exports went to Mexico, and the majority of that traveled by rail. But however, 25% of that grain actually reached Mexico by an ocean vessel. So to back up a little bit, if you look at the total corn exported in 2024 is 2.46 billion bushels. 1.65 billion bushels was inspected for export at the Gulf and Pacific Northwest ports. So that means that two-thirds of our U.S. corn exports are vulnerable to fines. So if this proposal was to be enacted without any sort of adjustments or any sort of changes, it would be a significant added cost that would definitely impact our ability to be successful in selling our corn.
So Nancy, what should farmers be paying attention to in the next 30 to 60 days?
So much. around April 2nd, for sure, we'll have more clarity about how reciprocal tariffs will be applied and what the rates will be expected. We're definitely looking to progress with negotiations with Mexico and Canada because they are such important trading partners for the U.S. corn industry. But we're also hoping for trade deals and market access opportunities. We know that corn has, a good story to tell and is a reputable customer worldwide. And there's just definitely a lot of places for us that would be very beneficial for our farmers.
Nancy, before the country can get to any new trade deals, trade promotion authority has to be granted to the president. Really didn't happen during the Biden administration. And so far, the Trump administration hasn't requested that from Congress either. Can you describe the importance of that and really what we need to do in order to have a trade deal even on the table?
Yes, absolutely. So trade promotion authority is the way that the president will have the explicit details and authority for negotiating, quote unquote, a traditional free trade agreement. However, we have learned that this administration takes an unconventional approach to trade policy. So it is to be determined how TPA will be requested or utilized or moved through Congress. Historically, reauthorizing TPA through Congress hasn't been easy. There's been, definitely some partisan divide on moving it. So that's a challenge. And we know this administration wants to move quickly on a bunch of different trade items. So I think it just remains to be seen how TPA authority, will be requested or utilized in this administration.
Well, thanks very much, Nancy. I can't tell you how glad we are to have you and the rest of the National Corn Growers team on the ground in D.C. to keeping track of a very rapidly moving issue that is very concerning and very topical for farmers here in Ohio. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
There's some exciting things happening at Ohio Corn and Wheat Growers Association. After the break, I'll be chatting with Gary Puckett, our Director of Communications for Ohio Corn and Wheat, on our new membership minute on kernels.
Corn and wheat ag news important to you. Experience the all-new OhioCornandWheat.org. Easy access to the biggest stories impacting your farm, always on the homepage. Plus, education and research information to help you stay ahead of what's happening in our industry. Keeping you connected to important policy priorities impacting your farm. And listen to the latest Kernels podcast, always on demand. Discover the new OhioCornandWheat.org now.
Keeping you up to date on what's happening at Ohio Corn and Wheat and the issues impacting you, that's what my next guest is helping to do every day. Gary Puckett, our new Director of Communications and Industry Engagement, is joining me now. So Gary, we're 6 months into your time here. Some of our listeners have met you, some of them have not. Why don't you introduce yourself and discuss some of the exciting changes that are currently underway for our members?
Yeah, I've had a great opportunity traveling the state of Ohio really to get to know some of our members and really kind of get immersed into all things Ohio Corn and Wheat and spend a wonderful time, whether it be at many of our Ohio Corn and Wheat events or many of the events that we support like farm extension programs. Those have been fantastic and been really a great way to get out and meet farmers. But, you know, I'm really excited about some of our communication changes that we've had underway. If you haven't been to OhioCornandWheat.org, you need to go there right now because it's brand new. It's so clean and so fresh, but best part is it's full of information that's important to growers in our state, our members, corn and wheat growers. And we're really proud of that. And we really want you to go check it out and tell everybody you know to check it out as well. But I think that some of the great things that I'm proud of seeing is all the great new social media communications that we're putting out, whether it be on our Facebook channel or YouTube channel, any of the places that you are, we are as well. And we want to make sure that you're sharing and subscribing and liking all that information so that you can stay informed about what's going on across our state.
So Gary comes from the TV world. And so if you've seen a little bit more video out of Ohio Corn and Wheat, that's because it's in his DNA. And we are all about our YouTube channel that you've really helped to revitalize. So I appreciate that. So Gary, how can people get more involved?
It's really easy. That new website I just talked to you about, we've made it really easy for you to join or renew now. There's a button at the top of the page and it follows you wherever you go. Click that button, join or renew now, and we'll get you connected with some great benefits of being a member of Ohio Corn and Wheat Growers Association.
Well, thanks a lot, Gary. Coming up, things you need to know when Kernels returns.
Working on behalf of Ohio's corn and wheat farmers, from E15 expansion to exports, research to resilience, Ohio Corn and Wheat is focused beyond the field, fueling progress, helping to shape important policy that protects your land, a team invested in your success, tackling tough issues like vomit toxin, and working to open doors to places around the world. To grow opportunity for you, your family, and your farm. At Ohio Corn and Wheat, we're growing Ohio's future together. Experience the benefits of being a member. Join or renew your membership now at OhioCornandWheat.org.
Welcome back to Kernels. There's a new segment on things you need to know. Here's a couple of them right now. I want to bring your attention to a very important letter from our new Lieutenant Governor, Jim Tressel, to the Ohio Congressional delegation expressing his support for nationwide year-round E15. This is significant. It brings national attention to an issue that's been very important to Ohio corn and wheat, and we now have support right from the Lieutenant Governor's office. So we certainly thank him. You could see that whole letter by going to OhioCornandWheat.org. If you're a small grains farmer, you can mark your calendars now for Small Grains Field Day. It's taking place June 18th at the Worcester OSU campus. It's going to feature OSU's farm staff and Wayne County Extension. Get more information right now, again, at OhioCornandWheat.org. Well, that's it for this episode of Kernels, but the conversation doesn't have to stop here. If you found today's discussion valuable, share this episode with a farmer. Encourage them, as always, to become a member of Ohio Corn and Wheat and subscribe so you don't ever miss an update. Thanks for joining us.